The scripture reading for this morning is from Romans 7, beginning at verse 22. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Thank God, it has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. Here ends the reading. Well, good morning, Emmanuel. Today, I just want to share some good news with you, because good news is what we need to hear. And that is, God loves you with an unfathomable love. And it matters not whether you've been a Christian all your life, whether you're new at this whole thing, or you're still inquiring about what the Christian faith is all about. We're all on the level playing field when, as far as God is concerned. He loves us equally. He loves the whole world equally. There is no some better Christian or some worse Christian. We're all in it together. But here's the thing. God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to continue to advance and to come closer to him. And so he's all about changing our mind. As a matter of fact, that's what it says in Romans 12:2. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's what he wants for us. And that's what I'd like to spend a few minutes today talking about. Matter of fact, God is far more interested in changing your thinking than he is in changing your circumstances. And circumstances seem to be what we're all concerned about right now as we are sheltering in place, as we find ourselves social distancing, as we find ourselves cocooned within our own family unit, sometimes a little too close, where nerves get frayed and we just wish we could get out and get away for a little while and get back to normal. And we find ourselves in a need for having our mind changed, because we're constantly bombarded by the media. Day in, day out, wherever we look, and we hear about the deaths, and we hear about the ventilators that are needed, and we wonder, what's it going to be like where we live? When will it ever stop? From the moment we get up to the moment we lie down, we're deluged with the plight of our circumstances, and it can wear on us, and it can tear us down. And so the good news this morning is we have a God who is above our circumstances. He is a God who wills for us that we use our mind to see him for who he is. And that's important. It's important for three reasons. First of all, because my thoughts control my life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." And then secondly, our mind is essentially a battleground for sin. Every sin that comes to us enters through our mind, first as a thought. And then the third reason why God would have us manage our minds is because it's the road to happiness. It's the road to peace. It's what God wants. Now, if you're a Christian, if you've been bought for by a great price, then you know that you haven't just turned over a new leaf. But rather, you've turned over your entire life and you've been remade and you've been refashioned in God's image. Jesus is your aim in life. And so your aim in life is to please him and to do what his will is in your life. It isn't a matter of you have to, but you get to. You get to practice those choices that are loving and joyful and peaceful and filled with the accord of our Lord God. But the problem is, we're confronted daily by three bad choices that come our way. And I'd like to talk about them for a moment. They all begin with the letter F. Feed your mind, free your mind, focus your mind. So we start with feeding our mind. We need to constantly feed our mind with the truth. Jesus says, "The truth shall make you free." Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about what that means, and they don't have a clue what that means. What is truth? Pilate says, "What is truth?" Well, Jesus himself proclaimed himself to be the truth. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he says this, "People need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. The truth that sets us free is the word of God." Right now, many of us need to be set free because we live within prisons of doubt, prisons of worry. We want to be set free. And so we try to find ways in which we can free ourselves from our own little predicament. And we watch oodles of YouTube, or we go down the romance novels, or we look at this or that on television. But none of it really sets us free. What is the freeing agent in our life? It's the Word of God. Inspired. The Word of God is breathed in. The Word of God, unlike any other book, is God working through the 40-some authors of these 66 books who has made it a means of grace, a way by which His Holy Spirit comes through the Word, written and heard, into our hearts to change our hearts and to change our minds. This is the God of the universe who has revealed Himself to us as a God of immense love, who from the very beginnings of creation has determined that He was going to have us be with Him forever, no matter what. And when the great barrier of sin separated us and our world from Him, He took immediate action, first through the prophetic statements of the Old Testament, and then when the time was right, through His only Son, Jesus Christ. True God came to earth as the true man, born as a baby in Bethlehem, Emmanuel, God with us, who came under the law, and yet, though He was tempted, never yielded to that temptation. And even though the wages of sin is death, never sinned, never needed to die, and yet, for us, He faced our death on the cross. And with the hammer blows that went into His wrist and into his feet there on the cross, with every blow was our sin that was nailed to that cross. He has taken away our sins. And God validated that on Easter morning when He raised up Jesus from the dead, who now, this Jesus at the right hand of God, intercedes with us and assures us that His Spirit is still with us and will neither leave us nor forsake us. And this frees us from the great perplexing questions of life of who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Is anything I do in this life of significance? And God gives us the answer in Himself and in the Word of God. And so it becomes imperative for us to feed ourselves on the Word of God. When you ask? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 119, all the time, I rise up early to cry out for help and to put my hope in Your Word. So when you get up in the morning, and then it says, all day long, Psalm 119, 97, Lord, how I love Your Word. I think about it all day long. Now, how do you go about thinking about God's Word all day long? Well, you memorize Scripture. You have a word of Scripture that you just think about and ruminate over and you contemplate upon whatever you're doing during the day. And then the Bible says, even in the darkest of night, Your teachings fill my mind. Have you ever had trouble sleeping? Now, maybe one thing you can do is simply open your Bible before you go to sleep. Just open it up somewhere and read a word of Scripture. Think about it for a moment before you go to bed. Now, here's the thing. Leave that Bible open there, right by your bed. And when you wake up in the morning, you have that open Bible. Just look at that same Scripture again and let it be the beginning of your day, evening, morning, and throughout the day, when you rise and when you go to bed, you can feed on God's word. So not only feeding on God's word, but we must also free our mind from destructive thoughts. That has to happen. Our minds need to be subject to Christ. They need to be delivered and released. And that takes some doing, because our minds are at war between the things of God, the things that are pure and lovely, and the things, all the trash that comes into our mind constantly. And if our old sinful self is there, we know that it's going to have a number on us. And so our number one enemy is our old sinful self, the nature, the sinful nature that is in me. As a matter of fact, Romans 7 says, I see in my body a principle at war with the law of the mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells inside me. In other words, I become hostage to my thoughts. It happens all the time. I think something negative, and then I can't get it out of my mind. And it just festers there, and I dwell on it. And I know it's not good for me, but I can't help it. It's there, and there's this battle that's going on in my mind all the time. And we can lose it. This sinful nature is not our best friend. It's the source of all our bad habits. And maybe it's time that we write this down. And this is what I say. You don't have to think the way you think. And you don't have to believe everything that you do think. You don't have to believe everything that you think. Because everything that we think may not be true. And everything that we are acting on may not be real. Oh, no one cares about me. Is that true? Oh, I'll never amount to anything. Is that real? Oh, you know, my life is worthless. Is that accurate? You need to ask the question, is it really true? Over and over in your life. Romans 8:5 says, those who are dominated by their own sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And so the first enemy is inside us. It's our old sinful nature. But there is a second enemy, and he's around us. His name is Satan. And Satan wants to change our mind for all the wrong reasons. Now, let me say this very clearly, that if you love the Lord your God, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if His Spirit indwells you, Satan cannot harm you. He cannot control you. He cannot possess you. But the one thing Satan can still do while we're in the flesh is that he can offer suggestions to you, just like he did to Eve. In the Garden of Eden, did God really say? Just like he did to Satan, as Satan did to Jesus when he was being tempted, and different quotes of Scripture, he'll come to us with these suggestions. And these suggestions, when they enter into our mind, become temptations. Now, temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted by the devil. The Bible tells us. It's yielding to the temptation. That's the sin. But in order for us not to yield to the temptation, we need to know that Satan operates in the same old, bland way, very uncreative, one way only. He just offers suggestions, offers us suggestions, alluring suggestions, which can come into our mind and become temptations. And if we don't know how to control our mind, then we yield and succumb to those temptations. Satan is constantly planting negative thoughts and negative ideas. The moment we wake up, he's telling us to do the exact opposite of what God wants us to do. You deserve to be angry. You deserve to be upset. You deserve to be depressed. You deserve to get even with somebody else. And he's feeding us that ammunition. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, and Paul's talking about a guy who has sinned in the church, and he says, I've forgiven that man. I don't hold a grudge to him. Why? So that Satan won't outsmart us, for we're very familiar with his evil schemes. Do you know that any time you refuse to forgive somebody, Satan wins? Anytime you hold a grudge, Satan wins. Anytime you're unforgiving, anytime that you have a suggestion or a bad thought towards somebody, Satan wins. So we've got that self, that old nature within us. And then we've got Satan around us, affecting the thinking in our mind. And then third, the third enemy on my mind is the world's values. Now the world's values are constantly in opposition to everything we value as a Christian. And it's being promoted constantly through the airwaves, through television, through music, everything we hear about. You hardly hear anything about, let's praise God, let's revere the Lord. Most of it is about destructive things. Or at the very least, what we're being told is, it's about me. Everything that's important is about me, I better myself, we're told. And since when has it been about me? The Christian life is not centered on me. The Christian life is centered on God. And when we get off of ourself and get on to God, that's when our mind begins to be transformed into the kind of mind and the kind of being God is wanting us to be. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. We have the divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, what does that mean? To demolish strongholds. A stronghold is a lie that I believe. Anytime I believe a lie, that lie comes from the devil. Satan is the father of lies. And so anytime I believe a lie about God, that's a stronghold. Anytime I believe a lie about myself or my future or my past, that's a stronghold. Anytime I believe a lie about a worldview, about materialism, and that my life is about earning money and that's it, it's a lie. Anytime I find myself greedy or filled with worry and anxiety or am depressed, or I'm an egomaniac and I just center on everything about myself, that's a stronghold. So how do we make our minds captive to Christ? How do we bring it into submission? Well, first of all, admit we have a problem. We confess my mind has a mind of its own. My mind doesn't mind. And then secondly, do it ahead of time. Ahead of time, think about what's pure and good and what we're going to allow our mind and to focus on and what we're not going to have it focus on ahead of time. Feed your mind the truth. Psalm 119:112 says, I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. Now I want to mention the third step. So first, I need to feed my mind with the truth. Secondly, I need to free my mind from destructive thoughts. Now, third, I need to focus on the right things. And when I need to focus on the right things, that means I need to gaze and look to Jesus. I need to think about Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. We think about Jesus wherever we're going. He's the power that keeps us going when we feel like giving up. He's our Savior and Lord. He's the one that has loved us. God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our loving God has rescued us, has brought us back from the abyss, has made us into his child, has promised us an eternity with him. It goes on forever and ever. And in light of all that, how can our minds be anything but glad and courageous and filled with thanksgiving and for a God of forgiveness and love? So will you do that? It's a choice you have. Will you change your thinking? No one is going to hold the gun to your head, but God has given us the supernatural power by the Holy Spirit to let go of the stupid stuff that gets into our brains sometimes. And maybe today's the day to change the channel, to give to God our worried thoughts, to give to God everything that wears us down and tears us apart. So here's our assignment. Will you do this? When you go to bed tonight, will you simply open your Bible, feed on the Word, just read a little something from Scripture, wherever it is, and will you keep it open? And tomorrow morning, will you look at your open Bible and begin your day with the Word, morning and night, and throughout the day, think upon godly thoughts, and forget the other thoughts. Rethink your life. Reset your mind. It's time to reboot in Christ's name. And now will you join with me in prayer? Father, you give us our minds, and we're made in your image. And the only reason we were created in the first place is to be a reflection of the Creator. You've given us the gift of intellect, and because our minds are our greatest asset, we now have come to realize they're also the greatest battleground. The world and the flesh and the devil, all teaming up to thwart our best intentions. So we need your help. So God, help me put into practice what I've just heard. Help me to do what you've called me to do, to make these choices on a daily basis. I want to feed my mind with truth. I want to free my mind from destructive thoughts by turning the channel and taking every thought captive, and I want to focus my mind on the right things. I don't want my mind to run wild. Help me to be wise to temptation. And God, today as we worship from afar, as we keep our social distancing, as we pray for those in harm's way in this pandemic that has changed so much, I'm going to make up my mind to obey your word and to believe your truth, no matter what the circumstances are. Help me to think about Jesus. Help me to think about others. And help me to think about eternity so that my life may be truly transformed. Amen.